You could keep your eyes open wide, but if you focus narrowly on understanding a market, then you'll know and be ready. Sometimes it's a fantastic deal, but if someone hasn't studied that market and that property type really well, they might not understand how good a deal it is.
Real estate is about freedom, choice freedom, time freedom, and money freedom, and the impact you can make with that freedom. But it doesn't come without cost. Your freedom takes work. That's why Neil Timmons brings together the tools you need to build your real estate legacy, from tips and tricks to interviews with industry titans. It's all here in one place. Real Grit. Let's get to it.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Real Grit. I've got Michael Bull here with me. He's a CCIM. He's an active broker with 35 years plus experience, over 6 billion with a B in transaction experience. He's the CEO and founder of Bull Realty. He founded it 25 years ago. The firm's services include investment sales, project leasing, and tenant representation. They closed $1.9 billion just last year. Now, I said to him before he came on, he was podcasting before podcasting was cool. He started 12 years ago. He hosts America's Commercial Real Estate Show. 60,000 plus people listen to it each and every month. So I'm excited to have him here. Michael, how are you?
Neil, great. Thank you. Appreciate being on the show with you.
I appreciate you taking the time here. So thank you. Tell me, we all started someplace. What was your first entry point into real estate?
Wow. So I was graduated high school. I was paying my way through college, going to college at night, and I had a terrible job doing air conditioning installations. And I started asking everybody I knew, you know anybody that needs any employees? I need an easier job. And I got a job leasing apartments for an apartment rental company at 18 years old. They gave me a chance. They gave me three raises in the first 4 weeks and taught me how to manage apartments. And I grew that company. And then another company hired me to run their management company right before I turned 20. I tripled the size of that management company and then started selling at 19 as well. My license, I started selling apartments at 22. Kind of dropped the management side and was full-time investment sales with a focus on multifamily at the time.
Yeah, incredible. Tell me kind of big picture from then to now, what's changed in the brokerage world on the commercial side?
Wow, everything.
Well, let's maybe the technology I know has changed a whole bunch of things, but maybe past the technology component, what's, one of the big, the big three, four, five that come to your mind?
It's a constantly evolving cycle. And I think the only constant in this world is change. And
Fair.
there's a lot of change. But then again, some things are the same. Some of the basic principles that investors use that I've seen work, dealt with a lot of commercial real estate investors and multifamily and land developers over the years. And I've seen a lot of what works and what doesn't work for them. And a lot of the strategies that worked well to them still work well today.
Some of the tried and true things, what I hear you saying, so the tried and true, and some of the probably the favorite calculations and investment returns that people use. It's some things never go out of style.
Yeah, that's right. And some of the things I see some of the folks doing is I have some had some investors over the years who like to follow the cycles pretty closely. That are more long-term investors and they like to buy when the cycle's down a little bit. And we see a lot of investors do really well with very much focusing on their own sector and space and learning it very well. We've seen investors do well by establishing great relationships with brokers who are doing a lot of transactions.
So what I hear you say there is go narrow, not wide, and then leverage your relationships.
Yeah, and I think you could keep your eyes open wide, but if you focus narrowly on understanding a market, then you'll know and be ready. It's like sometimes like we just listed a deal. It's a fantastic deal. It's a 36 million value add, 9% cap rate, a lot of vacancy also to lease up. But if someone hasn't studied that market and that property type really well, they might not understand how good a deal it is.
Right. No, you're exactly right about that. Talk to me. Let's go a little deeper on relationship. For hear a lot about off-market transactions, and certainly I've seen it firsthand, even on the commercial side, when dealing with brokers, there's a whole multitude of transactions that get done off-market through a broker, not brought publicly. How does one initially engage, start to build a relationship with the broker if they're just trying to break into this, or they're a smaller investor trying to get their second or third or fourth deal?
A good question. And one of the ways is to pick a broker when you're ready to sell something that might bring you off market opportunities. You start developing that relationship. So A lot of times that's, you know, we will go to with an off-market opportunity is people who are using us, right?
Right.
We've even had investors and buyers that will pull us into a deal. Hey, you know the comps, you know the underwriting, you're a good negotiator, represent me. And then obviously we didn't even show them the deal. And we're like, okay, well, that's obviously somebody that's taking care of us. We want to take care of them. So that's one way. I think another way is when you find a broker that has a focus on what you want to buy an area is to let them know that you will protect them on off-market opportunities if they bring it to you by two ways. One, that you'll keep it extremely confidential and quiet. And number two, you'll underwrite their fee so they don't have to go to the seller for a fee, that you'll underwrite a reasonable fee that would be based on the property type and size that's appropriate, and let them know you'll protect them there. The other thing, obviously, is to let them know that you're capable, how fast you can move, how you fund deals, how you make decisions, and be very available. Let them know that you'll underwrite and review the property very quickly, and that if they bring you an opportunity and you're too bogged down with transactions to do it, that you'll let them know. I appreciate you bringing that to me, but we're closing some big portfolios. We won't be able to look at it for a month. Fair enough. The broker might say, well, I need to go to someone else. Okay.
Sure.
Yeah.
Just like you communicate with anybody, you have to have a clear communication so everybody's on the same page.
Right. And when they know you'll protect them and take care of them and that you're capable and responsive, and then they'll, if they find and they like to do off market, they should bring you some opportunities.
Yep. No, that makes sense. Let's break this transaction down into a couple different components. So I want to know on the front end, getting to the point where somebody underwrites and then goes under contract, the kind of the best in your mind, the best investors who you've worked with, interacted with, seen firsthand over the years, what do they do really well at that phase of the process? What separates the winners from the losers, I guess, it's at that phase?
Right. After they've got a property under control.
Yeah.
I think ones that have good relationships with third-party vendors that they need to use, property condition assessments, environmental folks, surveys, appraisers, architects, contractors, lenders, and funds, and with equity and debt. So I think the ones that are just more ready to go, right? And then, and as brokers, sometimes we're picking between multiple buyers. We're going to do a buyer interview process. We're going to figure that out. So it helps them win the deal as well. And having a great track record. You know, one of the things that we look for in buyers and investors for our assignments that we take out the market is, hey, what's the history? What have you owned? How many deals have you put under LOI that you actually closed? Mm. If you haven't closed, what happened? So just a track record. And part of what we do as brokers to add value to clients when they're selling properties is we are tracking in our specialty the buyers and their history, what they're paying for properties. And we know a lot of that information. But as a buyer, just having those, having your ducks in a row, having your relationships ready to go so you can move efficiently and quickly. Also, that you're able to make offers that potentially can close faster than your competition because you have everybody lined up. You have those relationships.
The buyer interview process, you mentioned that. What makes somebody, that interview go really well for a buyer? And you know, where could, if you're advising, you know, you're repping a buyer and they're going through a process, what are you advising them to do?
You know, be honest with the questions and with the answers and to see if it's the right match for you, right? Part of what we do as brokers is match properties with buyers. And so you want to make sure that you tell the buyer that, I mean, the agent, that you understand the deal, you understand the market, you understand the leases, you understand the challenges that some buyers may perceive the property has or the market. And so that you totally understand it, that you have your debt source ready to go, that you have your equity ready to go, or whatever the process is for your debt and equity, that you're ready to talk about it. You know, it's when we do a buyer interview and they don't know, well, we have equity sources, but until we get it under control, we don't discuss it with them. Those are not things that we're going to put you at the top of the list when we hear them.
Right. No, that makes total sense. You've been through a handful of cycles now. Where do you see people? You mentioned there's some buyers that buy at the cycles, right? They're just buy at the bottom, sell at the top, right?
Yeah.
So I guess my question is this, based on the breadth of your experience, look on a forward-looking basis, where do you see us heading at a cap rate level, perhaps at an interest rate level? And then cycle-wise, where do you think we're at in the cycle?
Yeah. And as you know, it varies for the different property sectors,
yes,
and geographic and size of properties. But I think there's a lot of opportunities everywhere. And if you look at, you know, industrial and multifamily, it's still really strong demand and a strong outlook. So I don't think that would be just considered distressed at all. And I think one of the areas where there can be some opportunities is in the office sector is the one most in question.
Right.
And I think there's going to be a lot of money made with investors buying office properties in the next few years. And I don't know how long the window is going to be open, but the window has opened. And I don't think the window shuts in the opportunity to buy office, having more opportunities to buy better office properties, better locations, better cap rates, better prices per square foot for a while here. But it probably the window will shut when the employment market changes, when employers can tell their employees, get to the office or get gone, like at Tesla. But with the employment market so weighted to the employee, they can say, look, I want to work half the day in my pajamas at home. And if you're going to make me come to work for a full day and commute, then I'll just work somewhere else half the day in my pajamas.
Correct.
When that changes, I think the office market strengthens back up. Employees, employers, companies, they're going to realize all the benefits, top line and bottom line, to being in the office. So I think that's a good opportunity. And it reminds me of the residential market when you look at the downturn we had in the Great Recession, if you want to call it that. House prices really down and then went up for several years. I think that's happening right now in the office.
Yeah. Have you been to the vault? RealGritVault.com. Listen, we've got multiple guests who come on and oftentimes they bring us little tips, tricks, tools, scripts, Excel calculators, a multitude of things, and they share it. They share it for you. You can get them totally free, totally free. RealGritVault.com. Ever been on the show who's brought everything? It's all behind the vault. Get it. RealGritVault.com. Return. Did you know the pendulum swung so hard the other way? We're going to have to return to an equilibrium at some point. Yeah. No, I would agree with that assessment. Talk to me just about the company wide. What's the structure look like? And then talk to me about kind of the non-negotiables when hiring people, you know, what's a culture like, and then how do you maintain that culture?
Yeah. Well, you know, at Bull Realty, we're a brokerage firm and we do 90% sales and 10% leasing and consulting with license in 9 Southeast states and with brokers of record and teaming with brokers in other states. We end up doing some deals all around the country. And our culture is based on two things. We started the company, or I did 25 years ago, with two reasons. One, so if anyone uses our company name, that they absolutely be known for integrity. That was number one. And then number two, known for the best disposition marketing in the country. And so that's kind of what built us and what creates us, our growth. And then our culture is highly educated, very professional services, and helpful to each other. We don't have a company full of tenant reps or a company full of net lease brokers or apartment brokers. We have 50 people and they all have their own specialties. And so we have enough people in each sector to be powerful, but not so many that we're all walking over each other. Yeah. And I like our brokers to be very specialized. We have senior housing group, medical office group, retail investment group, land group. I lead the office sales group and so forth. We have a big multifamily group. So I like to see our brokers specialized so they're more efficient, they're more valuable to clients, and they have more market knowledge that they can help clients with.
Yeah, no, that's great. Talk to me about the podcast. You've been doing this a long time.
Yeah, America's Commercial Real Estate Show started on as one radio station in Atlanta 12 years ago, and then it grew to 60 radio stations around the country. Did the first one as a podcast as well. Then about, I don't know, 6 years ago, we started videoing them. We would get comments. People would say, wow, the information in your video is incredibly valuable and good, but your quality of your video is really awful. Because we were in a Salem Media Radio studios trying to video in these tight rooms and all harsh lighting. So we created our own Studio One in Atlanta. And we have a news desk and 3 cameras, professional producer. So it's very high quality, you know, show now. And it was, I guess, the first and probably the biggest show on commercial real estate in the country. And we have great analysts and economists. And I learn a lot by being able to talk to these folks. And you can sort the SiriusShow.com. You can sort through the topics and kind of pick one that's really valuable to you or your contacts. And it's free. You know, that's what great thing about these podcasts and the value that you're putting out here as well.
Yeah, no, it's the information out there. It's high quality, is free, and people can take oftentimes actionable, right? Yeah. Actually go put it into place, do something with it.
Yeah.
As you look forward to the next 10 years in your life and your career, what's it look like for you?
You know, as my company's been growing enough that I have more people, high quality people, helping run the company and help my brokers and that sort of thing. So I'm more and more going back toward leading a team, selling office properties around the country and doing more brokerage and working on I traditionally work on larger assignments personally. So I really, really enjoy that. And some people have asked, Michael, had a great career. When are you going to retire? I said, well, when they carry me out, when they make me leave, because selling big office buildings to me is extremely fun. I love it. And so I didn't see myself fishing or traveling all the time. I like doing deals and helping clients and adding value to the people I work with. And it's real enjoyable.
Yeah. Looking back over your career, what was the most challenging piece or time segment or situation that you had to go through?
You know, I think the most challenging time would have been the severe downturns we had early when it first started. The 87 tax changes just killed the multifamily market. And it was, I went into what I would call for Michael Bull, a depression for 2 weeks. Yeah. And I snapped out of it and became a great broker after that. So it really helped me to go through it. But at the time, it was really rough. Every deal cratered, every one. Yeah. And Freddie Mac became the largest apartment owner. And then I think the Great Recession, that pause for that almost for a year, it seemed like it was a big pause. And then we started doing really, really well again in 2010 of selling notes and REO and short sales and helping banks and borrowers through the market. But I think that the heavy downturns, that little bit of pause that the market seemed to have, that's kind of tough because your expenses don't change, right?
Correct. Yes. For the principals out there, the investors out there, did those pauses, those downturns that you experienced that were so challenging in the brokerage world, were those the greatest times from an investor standpoint to be buying?
Yes, absolutely. You know, buying when people aren't buying. What I would tell people as anecdote is if you're at a cocktail party and people are talking about flipping contracts, buying deals and how hot everything is, you should be selling. And if they're talking about how distressed everything is, the market's terrible, you should be buying. So
what's the old French proverb? Buy on cannons, sell on trumpets.
There you go.
Yeah. Let's do this. I want to move into the final segment, what I call 4-4 impact.
4-4 impact.
What's your favorite quote?
One time my broker brought me in. I was about 22 years old. He saw me running in and out of the office and saw the hours I was putting in. And he was curious what motivated me. And he called me back on the carpet and asked me, so Michael, what motivates you? And at the time I had a salary from running this management company and growing it. And I was selling real estate. And so I just said to him what came from my heart. And I said, look, I just believe if you do the absolute best job you can at whatever you're doing, you will get more opportunities. He smiled, thanked me, and dismissed me. And as I was walking back down the carpet hallway, I went, man, I should have said, because I was looking for a raise. But it really wasn't the truth. You know, if I do the absolute best job I can at whatever I'm doing, I'm going to get more opportunities. And so I guess that's a quote from Michael Bull, but I never forgot it because of the significance of him asking and then dismissing me. He was looking for things to help motivate his. No one in the office was as motivated as me, and he's trying to figure out why.
What do you think holds most investors back from hitting their personal next level?
I think it's looking too much at the current market and not thinking long term. It's like people, you know, look, hey, Michael, you've got 40 properties for sale. Which one's the best deal? Well, if you hold a property 5 or 10 years, there's probably not a property on here that won't be a huge winner for you. So it's really about matching your goals and needs. But I think if people make mistakes, it's the hesitancy to go, oh, the current cap rates aren't that, or they just look too tight of a time frame and not open loan. Look at if you just concentrate on cap rate or something, you're obviously missing a lot. That's first year's, you know, return.
Correct.
If you pay off cash, but what if the rents are under market, right? What if you can do lease up or value add? So I think looking more long-term and what holds people back is just being too short-term.
Outside of real estate, what are you most passionate about?
Well, you know, on fun things, I like to have fun. My business is so fun that if I'm not working, I have to be doing something fun. Yeah. So I'm into music. I'm into performance boating. I ride 3 bikes, 130-mile-an-hour boat that I've had for 20 years. And so for music, I enjoy stand-up comedy. I go to a lot of concerts and stand-up comedy. Boating, if it's fast enough, and motorcycles, off-road vehicles, if they're fast enough.
Cool. That kind of fun stuff. Yeah, a lot of fun. Yeah. What's your favorite way to make an impact in the community?
You know, I think just adding value to the people around me. And I think if you, another quote that I came up with was that if you add value to the people's lives around you, it adds more value to your life. And I think just thinking of that way and treating everyone, if you use a transaction, for example, treating everyone in the transaction the way you'd want to be treated if you were them.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's the lender, the bar, if it's the buyer, the seller, the tenants, you know, the vendors, communicate well, treat right. Obviously, remember who you represent in your fiduciary situation.
Yes.
If you treat everyone right, it multiplies and you'll have a great career.
Yeah. No, that's great. For people who want to find you, they want to connect with you, they want to pick up the show, where should they go? What should they do?
BullRealty.com to reach me. My contact information is there. I own Bull Realty. Super easy to find there, I hope. Yeah. And then for the show, it's on everyone's phone. Google it or whatever. But the show website is CRE for commercial real estate, CREshow.com.
Perfect. Michael, I appreciate you taking the time to connect up here. I got a wonderful story, tremendous insight, and a show everybody should plug into to learn more.
Great, Neil. I appreciate it.
You bet. Thanks so much. Hey, for everybody here at Real Grit, I'm Neil Timmons, reminding you that real estate requires real grit. See you next time. If you like our content and want more, you can access it at realgritpodcast.com. You hear it guest after guest. Instinctively, you already know it. But let me call it out. The most expensive action is inaction. The real estate market is full of opportunities. You just need to uncover them. You can build a business that lasts for years, makes monumental impact in the lives of those that you love. It's not just about business, but about the freedom you get because of it. Have you ever heard the saying, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. I believe that partnering is essential. In fact, I partner with hardworking investors all the time. The point is that you can get a lot further with the right partner. Let me say it again, the right partner. If you've ever thought about partnering with anyone, or if you have a partner now, I encourage you to download my free Partner and Profit Guide, which includes the top 5 must answer questions to evaluate a profitable partnership. You can find it at www.legacyimpactpartners.com. I'll see you in the next episode. Hey, it's Neil Timmons. I've got a question for you. Are you a fix and flipper and want to leverage your skills, build passive income, create bigger paydays? Maybe you buy and hold rental houses and you want to increase your income by working less. Maybe you're executing on the Burr methodology and times being what they are, you're finding more cash locked into a deal. Maybe you want more predictable profits, or maybe this is your first go at real estate. Well, I've got a challenge for you. The 20X Profit Challenge. It's hosted and taught by yours truly. I'm going to teach and show you over the course of 5 days in this totally free challenge, how to 20X your profit. Lesson one's a game changer, multiplying your income and capital fast. Lesson two is the perfect plan. I'm going to show you how to be getting off-market 20X profit deals coming to you. The cash flow multipliers, lesson three, how to rapidly force appreciation and income growth. Lesson four is the deal accelerator, buying and holding profit guarantee properties. And lesson five, the wealth accumulator, consistently closing a 20X profit deals. I'm going to show you exactly my methodology, exactly what I did to go from where I was at, not achieving the results I wanted to achieve in my life, not achieving that passive income that I hoped for, that I knew I was capable of, and in 3.5 years becoming financially free. I'm going to do that in a 5-day free challenge. To sign up, go to 20xprofitchallenge.com, 20xprofitchallenge.com. We've got one coming up. Go there now, register. It's totally free. 20xprofitchallenge.com, and I'll see you in the challenge.